left me. Don't fight their wars. Don't be their pawns. Don't be afraid of the neocons. That's pretty interesting. So you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox, and we're really happy to be talking to all of you. And today we're going to have a really great show. Our first guest we are having call in, and that is Kumu Kehaulani Kekua, and she's got an amazing thing going on this weekend on the Queen's birthday. I'm going to be there, so is Marshall, and we're going to talk to her for a little bit about that. And then towards the bottom of the hour, Dr. David Baskin, who was on our show a few weeks ago, lives in Hyena and Houston, and he is helping to run an emergency program out of the hospital there, and we're going to get an update of what's going on in Houston. And then we are really blessed to have another one of our amazing people in our community here. That's Heather Schotter and her mother, Ronnie. Oh, sorry, Ronnie. Forgot your last name. You could say that. I have it written down here. Ronnie Walker. Yeah, and they're in here. And their organization is called Alliance of Hope for Suicide Loss Survivors. And it's a tender subject, but we are going to talk about it a bit. We have had a lot of loss in our community. We continue to have quite a bit of loss in our community. And next month is Suicide Awareness Month. So we are going to talk a little bit about how to both move beyond that and how, like, we can just kind of stem that tide. So I'm thankful to have my guests in here. And I want to begin by saying Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store and Pono Pies.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. Please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you. Your support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
Pono Pies, dedicated to restoring breadfruit as a major food crop in Hawaii. Gluten, dairy, and GMO-free. Delicious Pono Pies, available at health food stores throughout Hawaii. PonoPies.com, 808-283-3718.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. I just want to also welcome the world to listening. I see I got people from all across the continental United States, many places, and a lot in Asia. So I say aloha to everyone. I believe we have our Kumu on the line. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm so excited about your event.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. So you want to share with the listeners what's coming on?
Absolutely. So aloha. I'm Kumu Kehaulani Kekua, and I'm the Kumuhula of Halau Palai Hivoka Ipuwai. We're based in Kapa'a, just right on Kukui Street at Studio Ha'a. But this weekend, we are very excited to be presenting Ho'ala Mai, the Queen's Luau and Legacy Celebration. It's a signature fundraiser for our nonprofit organization, which is called the Ka'ipuwai Foundation, and also raising proceeds to support the program and scholarship initiatives of the Hala, as well as the cultural programs of Studio Ha'a. So we're gearing up for that. That's going to take place this Saturday, September 2nd, down in the beautiful setting of Waipa. We'll be on the Mauka side near the new commercial kitchen and Ka'anolani Hale, but it will be an all-day celebration of delicious Hawaiian food, luau, with continuous entertainment from 12 to 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
And for people who don't know, Waipa is on the western end of Hanalei. North Shore
That's
of
correct.
Hawaii.
That's correct. So you're going to go through Hanalei Town and past Hanalei School, which is one of the last major buildings on the drive. And there's a few more houses, but you will cross over a one-lane bridge that actually transitions you from the Waioli Ahupua'a into the Waipa Ahupua'a. So you're going to go right over that one-lane bridge that crosses the Waioli Stream, and that'll put you in Waipa. And if you just drive just a little ways down on the left side, you will see signs and banners indicating where the event is. So we will be on the Mauka side of the Waipa grounds and not on the Makai side, where they usually have the Tower Festival.
Right, so that's on the mountainside where you see the brand-new buildings. And is it the Queen's birthday on Saturday, Queen Liliuokalani?
It's her actual birthday. So Queen Liliuokalani, who was the last reigning monarch of the Kingdom of Hawaii, it's her 179th birthday anniversary. So we are just thrilled and so honored that our event falls on her actual birth date and not a little bit before or after. And
right.
Which is fine. We would still honor her anyway. But just the fact that it is her actual birthday anniversary gives us greater cause for celebration and honoring her memory. And so we've dubbed the event as the Queen's Luau and Legacy Celebration. So we will be offering up special chants and traditional hula kahiko, which is not too commonly seen and experienced, so we're excited about that. Our halau is presenting a whole segment of traditional hula kahiko and oli, chants and dances that will honor the migration of the Pele clan. We are going to be sharing for the first time some very special hula pahu, sacred drum dances that come from the genealogy and lineage of our halo. But we will also be presenting mele inoa, name chants, and other very special hula that pay tribute to different royal personages in our history. And most definitely, we'll be offering up mele inoa for Queen Liliuokalani as well.
And you've got two really good musical guests. You want to tell us about that?
Yes. So starting out the day at 12 o'clock, from 12 all the way to 5, there will be continuous music entertainment. And so I would be remiss not to mention the local Kauai talent first. We have great musicians from Kauai Island, including Dennis Wong, who is a hula brother of mine that lives in Anahola. He will be joined by Kikai Chalk. The illustrious, beautiful Lady Ipu Kahaunaile will serve as our MC and mistress of ceremonies, but she will definitely be singing and dancing hula as well. John Kepamahi and Wailoa. And then, of course, we have not just one, but two wonderful Nahoku Hanuhanu Award performers and recording artists. From Maui, we will be showcasing Napua Greg, who is also the kumuhula of the award-winning Maui Halau, Nale Kaumakauka. Napua will be performing selections and music compositions from her brand new CD entitled Makavalu. And it was just released just weeks ago. So it's brand new. She's been holding the number one spot on the Hawaiian music charts ever since it's been released. So we're super excited about being able to share with Kauai Napua's music and her incredible talent. And then we have Josh Tatofi, who is this year's Nahoku Hanuhanu Award winner of Male Vocalist of the Year. And he will be performing music from his album, Pua Kiele, which also garnered the Nahoku Award for Island Music Album of the Year. So we're so honored and super excited that we have two headliners topping off the day. We don't always have wonderful music and hula opportunities like this, so we're delighted and most honored to be able to bring this to the community.
Yeah, it looks like an extraordinary event. We can never say prices on here. There is two different we can't say
that's
it,
correct.
But there's two tiers because this is a fundraiser. So people can come at noon and be a part of the luau where they get fed, or they can come a little bit later without the food at 2 to 5, and that's a more discounted. Is there tickets still yet available?
Tickets are still available, and in Kauai fashion and style, and people wait to the very last minute, but there are tickets still available. We will actually cap the luau ticket sales probably tomorrow. Tomorrow is Wednesday, because the food needs to be prepared and all of that,
yeah.
Which is why we make those luau tickets available only in advance. I do want to share that our Waipa Foundation Ohana, also with my Ohana, the Kikua Ohana, are collaborating to prepare all of the food.
So it's going to be healthy, right?
Waipa mm-hmm. will be doing the imu for the kalua pua'a, or the kalua pig. The menu also will include chicken long rice, lomi lomi salmon, a beautiful fresh Kauai garden green salad, and we are going to be putting ulu or breadfruit into the imu. There will be also steamed kalo, poi and rice, of course, and dessert, and we will be preparing a very refreshing, delicious mamaki mint tea. And, you know, all of the produce is coming off of the aina.
Yeah.
And the hands that are preparing the food is not from a fancy restaurant. I mean, this is Hawaiian-style family luau being prepared by our ohana. So that makes it even more special. And, you know, just as a little tidbit, most people are familiar with the Hawaiian name of the feast, being called a luau, and that's what we're calling it as well, because that is what most people are familiar with. But traditionally, the proper term for a big feast and gathering is aha'aina. And so, you know, aha'aina can also be translated. The word aha means ceremony, but it also is a formal gathering, and it is a means of bringing together people to partake in the fruits and the produce, you know, and the mea'ai, or the things that sustain us off of the land. And so a lot of the ingredients, all of the ingredients actually are, you know, are from here or grown in, you know, either grown in the gardens of Waipa or from different organic farmers on the island. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to just share with people, if they want to get tickets, they can go online to www.studioha'a.com. Ha'a is like Humble, right? HAA.com, studioha'a.com?
Well, yeah, actually, ha'a, the word ha'a reduplicated means humility or humble. Ha'a by itself is actually an older term that was used for what we know now as hula.
Mm.
And the difference between ha'a and the more commonly known term of hula is in former times, it was a traditional practice in which there were prayers and ceremonies and protocols that, that really made it a religious and spiritual expression and spiritual practice. And then post-contact times after the conversion, you know, from the ancient Hawaiian belief system and the overthrow of the kapu system, and then adopting a new religion and a new god, a new belief system, all of those ceremonies and prayers were banned. And so that term, ha'a, eventually kind of disappeared into the background. So that is what HA is to me as a kohula. But it also is an acronym. In Studio HA'a, the H stands for hula, of course, and the two A's stands for an alliance for the arts. So although I teach hula and chant and all the traditions at Studio HA'a, we also do other contemporary art forms as well as traditional art forms in the way of workshops and lectures and cultural courses and so on. But hula for me is the overall inspiration.
And having attended a number of your workshops and then having had my students come and learn from you, I know anytime I'm going to go do something with you, I'm going to learn a whole lot. Breathe a lesson in the most beautiful and wonderful ways. And so I really look forward to this. It is true cultural practice, and everything from the lei and the kinolau of the different plants and all of that. I know that it's hard to not have an experience with you where the participant they will feel enriched and they will have a deeper understanding of our history here and knowledge, and it's the present as well. So
yeah.
I really honor you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And that's the bigger vision for me as a kuhula. And so I have my, on my long-term commitment students that learn in cycles at 6 months at a time, year after year. But there are people that are visiting, and there are people that live here, our residents, our kama'aina, that may not have that kind of time in their day-to-day schedule. So I'm trying to fill that void for a lot of people by doing shorter term programs. And I'm super excited because we've been here at Studio HA'a for about 2 years now. But finally, I'm really looking forward at the opening of Makahiki, the Hawaiian New Year, which is really October for us. We are going to launch a new calendar of special programs. So if people just go onto our website at studioha'a.com, right on the home page, there's a column with some dates. We are going to be reigniting a new cultural lecture series, the Ho'ulu lecture series, which is going to really be based in hula, but it's going to reach out to discuss and investigate the forest, the environment, and our resources. And we will also be doing a new artist series that's called Pa'ina and the Art. So super excited for that. I really want people to come out and join us on Saturday and learn more about it. Take in some awesome hula, both kahiko and awana, and just continuous wonderful music.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I look forward to your whole halau. You've got a really great group of people. I know that you probably have your youth in there as well as your more mature practitioners. And
yeah.
And I just love how much you take this, like, from Mauna Kea to, you know, the shoreline to different places in the world, that you bring this practice at such a core level of authenticity. So this is a wonderful opportunity for people to really inhale the culture.
Yeah, and at the same time, they'll be able to meet, you know, other artists and other practitioners that will be there. We will have two features, you know, two little very special features taking place on Saturday. We'll have an art makeke. So we have other artists that make beautiful things, jewelry, Hawaiian crafts, different arts, some clothing items, and so on and so forth. So, and hula implements. People will be able to buy hula implements on Saturday. There's nobody that sells hula implements on Kauai.
I know.
So we have the makeke, and then we also have a great silent auction as well.
Okay, so I noticed that on the ticket it says to bring an umbrella. Is that a big deal or no? Wait, there's something.
I don't recall putting for bringing an umbrella.
Somewhere it said bring an umbrella, like there's something to do with the rain.
Oh.
Do I have that wrong?
I honestly did not see that.
Okay. All right. Well, I saw that and I went, okay, I'm down. I can get wet. It's in the middle of the day. Or.
Well, on our fact sheet, I did indicate that people are welcome to bring mats and low beach chairs and blankets if they prefer to sit on the lawn, you know, out in the elements. We will have tented seating as well. But, you know, now that you mention, it might be a good idea, although I love the rain.
Yes.
We have a tendency to perk up the elements in the environment.
And
connect with them.
So it's not like you're spraying us with the hose.
About certain things.
Okay.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay, so I didn't know if there was something playful, you know, sometimes. Okay, so.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. But, and it has been really, really hot, and so people should prepare to bring sun gear, of course, wear sunscreen, and, you know, protect themselves from the elements, because even if there's an overcast, this Hawaiian still gets sunburned. So.
Yes. Okay. So I know that you're actually, you probably got your halau there ready to practice. It's a learning day. So thank you so much for calling in. And just real quick, one more time, 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock this Saturday at Waipa on the west end of Hanalei. People can get tickets at studioha'a.com or at Strings and Things in Hanalei. And we really look forward to seeing you, Kumu.
Yes, thank you so much, Felicia, and mahalo to KKCR for the awesome work that you folks do for the community. It's such a gift to all of us, and I really, really am grateful and appreciative. I do have Keiki today, and they are patiently, probably inside listening to the interview right now. But I have the littles right now, the Papa Napu'ali'i, and these are like little babies. They're so cute, ages 3 to 5. And then later on, I have the older Keiki coming in as well. So we look forward to seeing everybody. Please do come out. Don't miss this wonderful event. It's just going to be a great, awesome day celebrating the birthday, the 179th birthday anniversary of Queen Liliʻuokalani.
So wonderful. And to your halau, we love you. Okay, so thank you so much.
Love you too.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Felicia. Aloha.
Aloha. Right on. So that'll be really fun. I really look forward to doing that. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And in the studio with me, I have Ronnie Walker and Heather Schotter, and also kind of off in the distance there is Jake Saylor. He's going to be helping me when Marshall takes a break. I want to actually start with our conversation. We're going to be hearing from Dr. David Basco, but he is stabilizing a patient and getting them into the ambulance right now in Houston. So we'll just hear a little bit from him in a bit when he's able to call, and it might be he can't call, but he's busy doing something important. And so as we're shifting, we are just right now talking about, I'd say, a really nurturing high point. That's one of those kind of things that gives people positive focus and a sense of uplift and direction and purpose. And certainly in helping with a hospital in a big disaster, there's a lot of uplift and purpose in there. But in anything, there can be stuff that brings us into difficult positions. And so your organization, Ronnie and Heather, I would like you to be able to tell us about the Alliance of Hope of Suicide Survivors. And let us know, I'm just going to let you share what it is that you do and where your experience is on that.
Well, thank you very much, Felicia. We appreciate the opportunity to be here in the studio and to be helping increase awareness about a subject that most people don't talk about, which is suicide loss. I'm Ronnie's eldest daughter. I like to say I'm her favorite daughter when my other sister isn't around. But really, my mom is the one who started and founded the Alliance of Hope for Suicide Loss Survivors a decade ago. She started it out of our own loss. We lost my stepbrother to suicide 22 years ago. He had developed bipolar disorder. He was only 21. And he had fallen into a deep depression and ended his life. And we went through what many survivors go through, which included feelings of being suicidal ourselves and our family breaking up and really being completely devastated. And years later, my mom, who was already a clinical mental health counselor, started leading support groups to help others. And a decade ago, and we were actually on Kauai, she founded the nonprofit, built a website, which is allianceofhope.org. And really the intention was to create a place of connection and healing for suicide loss survivors, a place for people to get information about the experience that they were going through, and to get support and to get help. And today, the Alliance of Hope has become the leading online source of support in the English-speaking world. We have a forum where thousands of suicide loss survivors come together every day. There are about 500 who gather to receive support. And Ronnie is the founder of the organization and runs the organization. I've really been by her side helping her build it. I think when she started it, it was a little bit like Field of Dreams, like if you build it, they will come. We had no idea when she put the first website up that people from all over the world would come, you know, seeking support. We really had no idea how many people were out there needing support. You know, for every person who dies by suicide, which is every 40 seconds, there are between usually conservative 6 to 8 people, parents, mothers, children, siblings, who are profoundly devastated, completely shattered. And there's a conservative estimate there are more than 6 million suicide loss survivors in the United States alone. But most of our attention is focused on suicide prevention. And as a result, the family and friends have had very little support. I'll let Ronnie chime in here since I'm, you know, her eldest and favorite daughter, but I also tend to do all the talking, you know, since I was the firstborn.
Oh, well, I thought that was well said. I couldn't have said it any better myself. I think that one of the things that is not so well known is the level of devastation that exists for people in the aftermath of suicide. So the loss survivors are left to deal with a very traumatic and a very complicated grief, and very little research has ever been done on it. Mental health professionals tend not to have any training. In traditional graduate school training, it doesn't matter if you're in the School of Social Work or getting a degree in counseling or psychology, or even psychiatrists have very little training on this loss experience. It's just coming out into the open now in the last few years. I think part of that may be because for so many centuries, really, there was a lot of stigma around suicide. And so the lost survivors would suffer in silence. And so now, these days, we know from the bit of research that has been done that suicide loss survivors are almost 10 times more likely to feel suicidal in the immediate aftermath, those close to feel suicidal than the general public. And some other statistics came out about a year ago that compared suicide loss survivors to sudden loss survivors, for example, if someone died of a car accident or a heart attack. And in contrast, the suicide loss survivors are 80% more likely to leave their jobs or drop out of school, and 64% more likely to attempt suicide themselves. So it's a high-risk population that has had very little attention.
So actually, when you say it's not about suicide prevention, comforting and helping people to process who've gone through such a rough loss in their lives is helping towards suicide prevention.
Yes.
Because they could be the rebound effect.
Actually, there's a tremendous ripple effect. I mean, the many of the people who come to us are suicidal themselves, but it's as a result of the loss. So, you know, recently people have started talking about how suicide postvention, which is what we're doing, is actually prevention. And I know you didn't really set out to do suicide prevention, but we get emails and messages every day from people who say that we saved their life.
I think after my stepson died, and I was already a counselor when he died, I found the experience so painful and traumatic and debilitating that I didn't want to have anything at all to do with any client or anyone who was suicidal or possibly suicidal. And then years later, I began to notice that there was just a lack of resource for suicide loss survivors. I don't think at that time I realized that they were so much more likely to be suicidal. I didn't realize they were a high-risk population, although after my stepson Chan died, there were a sequence of events. Within a few months, my marriage fell apart. And I suddenly found myself, at the age of 48, feeling suicidal, which I had never felt in my life. I've now come to realize that it's extremely common, but when I began the Alliance of Hope and when I launched the forum that so many loss survivors use every day, I had no idea. And then I began to see people, person after person, coming who would say that they felt suicidal, or they simply just wished that they would get hit by a bus or...
Right, something would take them out.
Exactly.
A lot of times people don't want to take themselves out, but they lose the will to live.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we know now that it's one of the most easily identifiable high-risk groups.
Yeah, and I think that what people don't really understand is that when someone loses a loved one by suicide, that it's as if every bone in their body has been broken. You know, they're the walking wounded, but you can't see it. And people go through PTSD, just like war veterans come back and they go through PTSD. People who have lost a loved one go through post-traumatic stress syndrome, and they have difficulty focusing and concentrating. Sometimes people will post that I've, you know, finally after 5 years been able to read a book again, and I was an avid reader. People have, you know, a very challenging time, and so it's important to have compassion and really understand what the lost survivor experience is like. That's a part of, I think, the healing process. Also, people who have lost loved ones to suicide, often people don't know what to say to them. And, you know, I think people want to continue talking about their loved one. Their loved one is gone, just like with any kind of traditional loss. You know, and they died by suicide as opposed to dying by cancer or dying by some kind of disease that we commonly understand and have sympathy and compassion for.
Yes, there's a whole lot of questions that I would have on that. And kind of bringing into that, we have our friend from Houston. And so they are, I'm sure many people there will be having post-traumatic stress from what's going on. David, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Dr. David Baskin, thank you again, and just reminding the listener that you were the person we had in here, the neurosurgeon. Tell us what is going on in Houston, and thank you from all of us for taking care of people there.
Well, thank you. It's really an unprecedented thing. I guess you all probably just can, by watching the news, you can see this hurricane hit Corpus Christi, came inland, and kind of spun around and just stalled for over 4 days. And so there was several trillion gallons of water dumped on the fourth largest city in the United States, which is still built on a swamp. And so even though it has reasonably good drainage, there's probably no city in the world that can withstand trillions of gallons of water. I mean, in where I live, took 40 inches over 4 days.
Yeah.
And so it's just devastating. So, you know, in Hawaii, we all know about hurricanes, but floods are a completely different kettle of fish. And floods, you just sit there for days, watch the water rise. You know, if your street can't drain, you've got, there's nothing you can do. And so it's just devastation. There are people that were in their homes, watched the water rise till it got to the second floor, climbed on the roof, and then were rescued with boats.
Mm-hmm.
And I just spent a day, and still have actually, at the George R. Brown Convention Center, which is just a huge convention center. Think, imagine about 8 football fields put together in which there are 10,000 people, most of whom don't have a home to go back to because their home is flooded, trashed, and unlike Hawaii and Houston, if you get a significant amount of water in your home, you get mold, you know, there's a bunch of toxic disease, and you know, you just can't go back to your house. So it's an incredible natural disaster, which is pretty much unprecedented here. We've had hurricanes, and you know, we've had Iniki in Hawaii, which everybody probably still remembers, who's old enough to remember it. But the thing about those things is they come and go, and yeah, they wreak havoc, but it's sort of over. This is almost, talking about post-traumatic stress disorder, this is an incredibly horrible thing to go through. And really just sort of unprecedented.
And
so that's the bad news. Now, the good news is that, talk about Ohana. There's an awful lot of Ohana here. There are people who have boats from Louisiana, taking their boats, putting them on trailers, driving to Houston to rescue people. Because there's just not enough rescue personnel for a natural disaster like this. I went down to volunteer my services as a medical doctor in this city of 10,000 people, many of who are sick, and there were so many doctors there, it was unbelievable. I mean, there were doctors there who were flooded out of their homes who showed up to help people. And so, you know, what we didn't have in medical supplies and in facilities, we had in spirit, we had motivation. So,
Do you have many injured?
City, and a lot of incredible people helping to make it work.
Do you have many injured? Are many people injured? When we saw the New Orleans event, it seemed like there were many people who were just dying on the streets.
Well, there's been a relative small number of deaths, I believe, in 8 or 9, including a tragic death of a police officer who refused not to go to work and drove to his death as he drowned as the flood overtook his car on the way to work. So that's horrible, but relatively few considering the devastation, considering that, you know, a good third of the people are without homes, considering that there's 70,000 people without power, will probably be without power for weeks, considering dams are about to burst and overflow, but there's an awful lot of sick people. So in that 10,000 people in the George R. Brown Convention Center, there are people who are due for dialysis, haven't had it for 4.5 days. There's diabetics who've lost their medicine. I talked to one lady who had her medication in a bag, and of course the flood water took her medicines away, and she was 3 days overdue. I talked to another lady whose diabetes was rampantly out of control, semi-comatose, was able to give me the story. So, you know, as you have an older population, I mean, who are the people who get stranded? Are the people who don't have the means to just get out, older people, sick people, people with disabilities. And so, you know, it's an unprecedented, catastrophic, devastating event. But, you know, with with the spirit of Ohana, which isn't only in Hawaii, I think we'll overcome it. It's going to take a lot of hard work.
And after New Orleans, after Katrina, many people were displaced from there to Houston. Houston had the open arms for many of the permanently displaced people. So for some of these people, this is a second round.
Absolutely. I mean, we have people that came from Katrina who are still here, who we incorporated into the city and, you know, took them in, and they become a part of the city. And so you're right. So a lot of these people have a second hit. The interesting thing about this particular storm is because it stalled and dumped just literally trillions of gallons of water, everywhere in the city was hit. I mean, like I say, there were doctors who are fairly well known and respected, whose houses flooded away in some of the most sophisticated neighborhoods in the city, alongside with people who may have lived in a area that's a little, you know, less socioeconomic status. This storm has taken no prisoners and sort of attack. You know, everybody's involved with it. Everybody's been affected by it. It really is just, you know, an amazing natural disaster. But what you see in something like this, which is very much the spirit of Kauai, one of the reasons I love Kauai so much, is, you know, people talk about positive energy and negative energy, and that sounds a little 60s and 70s, but you can just feel it. It's palpable. So this is a horrible disaster, terrible things. People have lost their homes. People are laying on cots in a gigantic convention center, not knowing what to do with their lives. But yet, you go into this convention center, people needed clothes. There are so many clothes that people brought down there that there's piles of dry clothes to the ceiling. There are people lined up to be volunteers. The volunteer line is 45 minutes before you can enter the door.
Wow.
And so, you know, this incredible burst of positive energy, I say people came. People went to sporting goods stores and bought boats so they could rescue people.
Wow.
Literally went and bought a boat so they could rescue people, because there's not enough rescue personnel for something like this. So, you know, without sounding trite and trivial, I think positive energy can overcome negative energy. They always say, you know, the interesting thing about darkness is light, and light is one candle eliminates darkness. Only takes one candle. And, you know, I've been working now about 18 hours down at the convention center here, and I could tell you, you know, we're... The positivity, the positive energy, the motivation of the people to help each other, we're going to win. We're going to get through this, but it's not easy, that's for sure.
Well, thank you for all that you're doing, and, you know, share with whoever is there that, you know, I'm sure they know, as you're saying, people are coming from everywhere, but they're loved from around the country, and, you know, certainly in Kauai, we can relate. And we understand what it is to have these very difficult moments where everything is destroyed. So we send our love, and I appreciate your calling in to report, and I honor you for working hard every day to be good for your
community.
Well,
thank you, Lisa. And, you know, like I say, there's quite a bit of the spirit of Ohana here. One of the things I always love about the islands and why I'm, you know, more and more going to be living there is because of that. But nice to see that sort of spirit can exist anywhere. I think in Kauai kind of has the patent on it. I think people do it better there than anywhere. But I'm pretty impressed with how this group of people, the Texans, have come together to help their family and their Ohana. So thank you for your good wishes, and we'll say a prayer for an awful lot of these people, because they really need to be in our prayers.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. And thank you for taking a moment out to share with us what's going on there.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Love and aloha.
Take care.
Okay. Take care. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. In the studio with me, I have Alliance of Hope for Suicide Survivors, and we are talking about overcoming difficulties. And what David Baskin was just bringing up there, sometimes when the entire community is in crisis, it brings out the best in everybody, and it's a shared experience. And when there are individual losses, and sometimes very difficult ones, maybe people don't even know how to respond.
Well, I think that's what's a beautiful thing about our community, which maybe you want to talk about a little bit in terms of the community forum and what happens there.
Ronnie?
Sure. And I also wanted to say there's such a parallel between the suicide. I think it's probably part of the human condition, this unexpected traumatic loss, like all the people in Houston have experienced. Very similar kind of thing when one loses somebody to suicide. The world just suddenly is different than you ever thought it could be, and the whole foundation under you is fractured. And we're kind of catapulted onto a journey of survival, you know, and that is what is going to happen to those people in Houston, and it happens to loss survivors as well. We're really tested. I think in the beginning it's a question of endurance, and can we endure the pain? Can we meet the challenges that come at us one after another, like walking through the fire swamp, you know, or fighting with the dragon? And then along that journey, we find that we're helped by unexpected friends. And you could see that happening in Houston. And when it happens to suicide loss survivors, it means so much because people are in so much pain. You know, generally with losing someone to suicide, there is this period of wondering if one will actually survive. But when one talks to the people who have lost loved ones to suicide who are a few years out, there is a level of wisdom and strength and courage that they've garnered out of being on this journey. And people tend to go through a personal transformation of sorts, where they become more deeply in touch with the commitments of their own heart and soul and move into action. And they're not afraid to reach out. It's interesting because after my stepson's death, Katrina happened a few years later, and so I actually was down working with people in Katrina, and I recognized so many similarities between what the doctor was describing just now. I think with loss survivors who are so raw, knowing that people are there, having a circle of support around them, having people who will just let them be, who will not expect them to get over it. It's been 3 months, get over it. No, no, no. You know, we want to let people really grieve, meet the challenges, meet the secondary challenges that are going to come at them, depending upon who they've lost, and then deal with whatever it is that they have to deal with.
So I have a question. I found even when I was posting about this show, I hesitated to tag my friends who I know have lost a child to this.
Mm-hmm.
And because it feels like, you know, maybe it is too intrusive to put it up. And when people have lost a family member, it tends to be pretty easy for me because I've lost so many people that I see them and I immediately greet them. And within 5 minutes, I don't have a hard time acknowledging their lost family member because it's not like they ever forget. It's not like if I don't mention it, they're not going to think about it. But have you, in the process of hosting these forums, do you have any suggestions on how people actually approach somebody who is in that much pain?
I do. And I also want to distinguish when we're talking about hosting a forum. It's an online forum that has over the Alliance of Hope Forum is an online forum that functions like a 24/7, 365 support group. And it's clinically moderated, and it's a particular culture that fosters healing. So if there are individuals who want to find that, they can find that at forum.allianceofhope.org.
forum.allianceofhope.org.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to add, because I didn't know what clinically moderated meant before.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Because Ronnie is a mental health counselor. It means that it's overseen by a mental health professional. And we have a team of trained moderators and stewards, 30 of them who are online, our volunteer staff. So any time of the day or night, you know, one of the things that's important about suicide loss and the grief is that people are suffering sometimes 24/7. A lot of times people have difficulty sleeping. So this is a place that people can go anonymously. they can come and they can just read on the forum. There are specific discussion groups based on the type of loss that someone has had, if it's a parent or a child, or if they've argued before the person died, that's very common. So there's specific experiences that people have. And what happens is you come on and you can read and you can just gain information, first of all. And then if you decide to join, you sign up with an anonymous username and you can post and introduce yourself and tell about your story. And what happens is that we call ourselves exquisite witnesses. We bear witness to the experiences and the losses that people have suffered. People need to tell their story over and over. And then we provide people with information and hope. And so a mother will come on who has lost a child and share her story, and then mothers from all over the world will respond and greet her. And that is part of what is so beautiful about this community. People call it a sacred, but non-denominational, you know, sacred space of connection and healing. We have people from all walks of life and everything that normally divides people, politics, gun ownership, you know, religion, it falls away. And it's just an amazing, amazing support system. So people will come on sometimes in the beginning of their loss and stay on all day and just get off to go to the bathroom, you know. And so that's really the main service that we provide that operates 24/7. We also offer low-cost counseling, consultations via Skype and telephone for people who can't find counselors in their area, which is very common. We act as an adjunct to support groups when people do have a support group in their area. Sometimes it only meets once a week. Sometimes in rural areas like Kauai, there's very little available. And people need support in the middle of the night, you know, and they need to get on and they appreciate being anonymous. They appreciate just being able to sit there in their pajamas and, you know, write what they need to write and be greeted by another soul who, you know, is there and tells them, you're not alone. You know, we understand. And I'm getting choked up, and you know, we're here for you, and you will get through this, and you will heal.
Thank you. I mean, it's a really beautiful piece that you all have initiated, and it sounds like, you know, it becomes survivors all helping one another. I know my niece belongs to something called the Dougie Center in Oregon. Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
It is just an amazing organization where people who are either dealing with a terminal illness or they have lost a family member. She lost her father to cancer, and she's recovered from the cancer she got at 9, but that is also scary. But like just a week before this now, she did a week-long river trip, she's 13, with other middle schoolers. And everybody else had either a father or a brother to suicide.
Hmm.
And that is really rough. But when these kids go, like at the Dougie Center, they go, she goes there like two or three times a week, and they just have a whole friend circle, and they just do things. But what is really helpful is when they go and they do things, whatever it is that they're doing, it's not about what has happened to them, but they all have this shared experience of a solid grief in their lives. And I think that it gives them this plane where they can just really be real about who they are. And, you know, I would love to be able to see Kauai is kind of small like that, but you know, when there's an online program, but then when there also can be, I'm wondering, I guess this is the question I'm asking, is do you kind of help people regionalize? Like on that forum, it might be nice if there's clusters where people actually can go hang out.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. We haven't had the resources to do something like that. And as a matter of fact, our forum members are always saying, can we have a retreat? Can we have a gathering? But we just haven't had the resources yet.
I see you're doing a fundraiser right now.
We are doing a fundraiser right now.
We do. Yeah, we are. And if people want to know about that, they can go to allianceofhope.org and click on Get Involved. And we're raising funds to continue to provide this lifeline to suicide loss survivors. And I just want to say one thing, because I know it's Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and September 10th is World Suicide Prevention Day. You know, I do want to reiterate the fact that, you know, people are focusing on you know, suicide prevention awareness, but important to remember that someone who has lost a loved one to suicide is at higher risk for suicide themselves. And so if you can point them in the direction and say, you know, check out thealliancefhope.org and at least go read about what's happened so that you understand that your experience is normal, which might sound weird.
Mm-hmm.
But when people go through suicide loss, yeah. the traumatic grief, they think they're going crazy sometimes. And so, you know, very little attention has historically been paid to suicide. What we do is called suicide postvention. And it's really ultimately, you know, falls into the same camp. We're really helping restore aliveness to those who are grieving, and that's very important.
I want to also give out the Suicide Prevention Lifeline, like if this is a national number, but they have all these localized groups, and so they do redirect you to Kauai people, and I know there are a number of people on this island, beautiful, wonderful people. They've been in the studio before. They're probably listening now. But that 800 number is 800-273-TALK or 8255, and that is on my Facebook page, and I will put it also on the KKCR Facebook page. And, you know, Friday, September 8th, they're doing a sign waving. I know some young people, like just kind of high school, a little bit out of high school age, are doing some tomorrow. There's been some serious peer grief, I'm sure family grief. We had more even this week, and very often it's a young person. I think when people are depressed and they're in their 40s, they have enough little bit of balance to know that I feel bad today, but maybe I won't tomorrow, or I will find a little bit of balance. I think as a teenager or a young adult, I'm staring at you because that's my guess, but is that true? The more vibrant, like when you're in pain, it's harder to know that, hey, it's going to get better.
Oh, I think that's absolutely true. You know, you live long enough, you know you can live through something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. We have Ronnie Walker and Heather Shader.
I sometimes say Shadur because it sounds more exotic.
And it kind of looks exotic.
Yeah.
Alliance for Hope with Suicide Survivors. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with The Copper Man and Edible Hawaiian Islands.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. PackYourTrash.org and SaveRCs.us.
Edible Hawaiian Islands is a subscription-based, advertiser-supported print and digital magazine, the only James Beard Award-winning food and drink magazine in the state of Hawaii. Edible Hawaiian Islands digital magazine may be enjoyed at ediblehi.com.
And mahalo for listening to Kauai Community Radio. We really appreciate your support. So, so your forum is for adults, right? 18 and over.
18 and over.
And maybe someday there'll be a youth forum, but right now it's an adult forum.
It's an adult forum.
Yeah,
right now.
We would love to have funding. We have a lot of parents with grieving children, and that is an area that we see all the time where the parents are having to deal with their own grief. And sometimes they're just holding on for their children, and they're asking constantly, what can I do for my child? So we do have a bookstore as part of our website where people can find books also that are very good to help them with their loss. And then we have the counseling, which low-cost consultation, which is done by Skype and video. And we help a lot of parents in that area. But we would like to create a corner of our site for children or partner with an organization that is helping grieving children to be able to facilitate that in the future. So hopefully we'll have the funds for that down the line.
Felicia, there was a caller who said that he 100% agrees with you in terms of someone as they get older might have more perspective and just a real life experience to,
to be able to balance it,
Exactly. Yeah, I unfortunately, I'm not putting it well into words. He didn't want to go on the air, but he was very eloquent on it and basically wanted to express appreciation for your thoughts on that.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you. And I know that even just last week, I had a number of conversations with people who revealed how difficult of a time they were having. And I want to make a comment about bullying, how important it is to not bully each other. I think in the younger ages and sometimes the worse with girls. Actually, I'm curious. I got two men in the room here. Jake, if you want to voice in too, you are welcome to. No, he's shaking his head. that people can get bullied. And I even witnessed in my own peer circle this week some what I would call online bullying. And we need to not do that for each other, because it really pulls people down deeply. And I think that we can just know and assume that every one of us walks a difficult path. Even the people who are smiling all the time, a lot of times they're not showing their pain.
Yeah, I want to say that, you know, the first word of our mission statement is kindness. And we believe that kindness might just be the best, most under-researched form of suicide prevention there is. You know, we're really a kindness culture. So we're very much in alignment with that message. And when people come to the community online, just like when you come to Kauai, you smell plumeria, or you go to France and you hear people speaking French, and you know you've entered a certain culture. When you come to the Alliance of Hope Forum, you have the scent of kindness in the air, and that's a big part that's important to both suicide prevention and to healing after traumatic loss.
Yes. I believe we have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hey, aloha, guys.
Aloha.
I was the guy that called in earlier just saying that, you know, once I was 19, 21, 23, you know, and when you run into life's problems, it's easy at that age to try to take, you know, the easiest way out. And I'm so glad that I never did.
Yeah.
I'm 55 now. I've raised children. I have grandchildren. I'm not rich by any means as far as material things, but with experiences and love and stuff that's important to me, it's worth living. It's worth living. Don't do that, because there's no coming back. And I've had friends. I've had friends growing up that have done that, and it's hard, and you don't want to do that to your friend, leave them like that. So, you know, just work on the positive of life. We're over here at the basketball court shooting hoops. If something seems to be destructive in your life, well, stop it, you know. Get away from it. If you're around destructive people, get away from it. If you're on Facebook and people are bullying you, unfriend them. You don't need that crap.
Yeah.
And tell you the truth, I think too much people spend time on Facebook anyhow. You should be out there working on making a living. My thoughts go out to the people suffering.
Thank you.
In Houston and stuff. That's, we had a NICU. I went through a NICU, and I can't imagine wading in water through days at a time, you know.
Right. Our storm was over when it was over.
We didn't have water for days at a time, but we weren't wading in waist-deep water for days at a time.
Yes.
So,
thank you.
God bless everybody. Thanks for letting me vent.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, a lot.
Yeah, there was something that brought to mind, you know, good advice in terms of persevering, particularly if you're young. I think if we look at the overall conversation in our culture around suicide, it tends to be, I say, dumbed down. You know, people try to prevent suicide as if it was smallpox or measles.
Right.
As if it was one thing, you know, if, like, just toughen up or get mental health counseling or whatever it is that they need to do. And I think it is such a complex issue, which is one of the reasons that I decided I didn't know how to prevent suicide. You know, I didn't. I thought I could work with the grievers. But when you look at the diverse, and because I think I'm in a rare position where I've listened to thousands of stories of survivors talk about their loved ones, there is such a diversity in terms of the different kinds of personalities that take different paths, that have different circumstances, different genetics, end up, many of them, on different drugs,
mm-hmm.
On combinations of cocktails that the general practitioners tend to distribute. So I see so many middle-aged men. We've been talking about teenagers. But I encounter so many surviving partners and spouses of middle-aged men who were very successful family men. And all of a sudden something happens where there's a reversal of their fortune. They have a work injury or something happens in the business. And they might be prescribed a pain medication, and then they become anxious, so they're given an anti-anxiety drug, and then an antidepressant, and then Ambien to sleep. And by the time they get all these drugs in them, it seems as if almost they're not even in their own body. It's all anecdotal in terms of what I'm seeing, but I do see so much of that. So I wanted to mention that I see such a diversity in terms of a mother who has just lost an 11-year-old who was bullied, or another mother who has a son who had Asperger's and he ended his life, or my own stepson who had bipolar disorder, or those who have borderline personality disorder, or those who've come back from war with traumatic brain injury or PTSD, or those who've been sexually abused, or, you know, we could go on and on and on. So when we look at prevention of suicide, you know, I just really wanted to kind of underline the complexity of what we're dealing with.
Yes, and you know, as we're talking about, like, in this show, and when I decided to do another program, we have about at least once a year we will take this topic on. I brought it on not because of what was next month, but just because we seem to be having quite a lot of it. But I realized that with Kauai Soapbox, on a routine basis, I realize that that's what this show is about anyway. Because I know we can't say why somebody does it, but we can have a climate that's very difficult. And something about Kauai is we have the heaviest economic current that people are swimming in. This is a beautiful place, one of the most beautiful places on the planet. So our real estate prices are crazy. Finding a place just to lay your head down at night is, you know, like renting or buying commercial space. And it's worse on Oahu, where, you know, it's almost like a crime to be houseless, and there's just not enough housing available. And so I think that when people don't have a home to be in, or if they are basically couch surfing or what we call the hidden homeless, there's still a tenor of difficulty. So being without housing, I think, is a huge piece of instability. The craziness of having is not in alignment with our animal selves to just have to sit there and work and work and work, you know, and especially like in a place like Hawaii where we're not that distant from our indigenous culture here, mm-hmm. and that it was you fish, you hunt, you grow your plants, you help each other build things. It's kind of an absurdity that we have to work two or three jobs to be able to pay relentless insurance and taxes, and you can't build a simple house. You have to build a house that no one could afford. So we have all of that, And then we also have a layer that is this cultural conflict. What we have really learned and has become more and more evident, we were just speaking with Kumu Kehau about Queen Liliuokalani, but what with the internet and people relearning Hawaiian language, it's really evident the injustice that happened. So it's a whole new group of people looking at the injustice and then trying to transpose, like, do they want to live in the dominant culture, or do they want to live what way feels natural to themselves? So we have that layer too.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say, I mean, I moved here from Chicago, but I've been in a relationship for a decade with a Kanaka Maoli cultural practitioner who is descendant from the first settlers here. And so I see exactly what you're talking about every day. We just moved out of our home because it was sold to somebody very wealthy from the mainland, and we didn't own it. And so now we're looking for a place. I happen to be in a position that's probably better than some, and I've been stunned by, you know, really how many indigenous people are having difficulty finding a home. And you know, he carves Hawaiian sculpture and makes fishhook jewelry, and, you know, he wants to teach people how to, you know, work the land to feed the unborn, and he's very rooted. And yet I find him, I look at him and his spirit is diminished because he's, we're struggling to find an affordable home for ourselves. So I'm totally present to what you're saying and how challenging that is for so many people here on the island.
We had a caller, Felicia, who actually just wanted to point out that in a disaster such as Harvey, there are a lot of people made homeless. And
right.
There is a very specific and complete effort made to house all those people. You know, if you get on the list of people made homeless, something will be arranged, whether it's hotel room or
right.
a FEMA trailer or something else. So the caller just wanted to point out, well, we've got people that are houseless too here.
Right, and if I'm understanding the extension of that, is when you are houseless for whatever reason, your house sold, the place, you know, the place that you're renting got foreclosed on. It's not like there is really a list where they're going to make that effort to create it. And what we see on Oahu is, you know, they're literally living right on the side of the highway. And once you fall into that, it's very hard to bootstrap up.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm personally finding here is also that people are increasing the rent because they can, you know. So we saw a place that somebody, you know, jacked up $500 a month from what they were charging previously because they can, and they can get others who are going to. And they told us that we were the only, that my partner was the only local person who applied. You know, and that tells you something, you know, because people can't afford, and, you know, I've seen a lot of shacks that are, you know, not really suitable for, you know, having a shelter even over your head that are they're very expensive. And I can see how that just diminishes the spirit of any soul, but especially here on Kauai. I've had the sort of, you know, interesting position of being a haole, but
haole.
Also, well, haole means without breath.
Yes.
And so I say haole.
Yeah. I call it the H word.
Yeah.
I don't like that word.
But, you know, I call myself a kanaka haole because my partner's kanaka maole. And I so
okay.
I'm, you know, kind of a bridge between the two. After 10 years, I've been able to be a fly on the wall a little bit, but it breaks my heart. And, you know, I've seen firsthand what kind of struggle it is. And so.
And here's an observation I make, is really we're all indigenous to this planet. And so it might be that as European descendants, we have been domesticated longer and displaced longer. But really, any of us, I think you put them in a position where you can connect with the land, and we feel it. Aloha. Thank you for holding here on the air.
Hi. My name is Lori. I'm with the Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force here in Mihui. And in honor of September being Suicide Prevention and Awareness Month, we are holding a sign waving event on September 8th. And I just wanted to take an opportunity to invite the community to come out and join us. It's Friday, September 8th, like I said, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We want people to bring their own signs. It's an event for family and friends. We want signs to convey a positive, loving message.
And we're going to be in Kapa'a at the intersection across from Ponokai, in Lehui at the airport intersection, and also at the intersection of Puhi and Kuhio Highway at Kauai Community College. So we just wanted to get the word out there. There's more information on our website, preventsuicidekauai.org. Lots of good links there for suicide prevention and awareness. And we'd just like to have as much support as we can for this event.
So do you ever, are you ever one of the people who's on the phone? Like if somebody calls in, I'm just kind of curious because I've never called the line because it hasn't been something I've, you know, authentically been needing to utilize. What would somebody expect to hear when they call that 800 number?
The 1-800-273-TALKLINE is the suicide prevention lifeline, and they're going to get in touch with somebody who can give a good evaluation of that person's state of mind and hopefully refer them to the correct medical facilities if they are needing, you know, professional help.
So if somebody
I am not one of the authors of the suicide prevention lifeline. Okay. No, I'm just a local community member that volunteers for the task force here on Kauai.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling that in. Really appreciate
it. Okay. And just one more time, the website is preventsuicidekauai.org. There's tons of information and links there.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much.
Aloha. And I think, like, when people are feeling really down like that, what I believe would be the case is if they call, if they look in their lives, or even if they talk to a pastor or somebody who's a coach or somebody who's a bit of a leader in things, if people are very blunt and direct and say what they're thinking about, most people will stop and take that time. And it's probably easier, a little bit of an, I don't want to say an older person, but I know, like, there's something I've watched with the Kia'i movements, with the people who are doing the land protection, that part of what is in that whole cluster of people is people healing from having that much despair. Like, the leaders are typically very good at throwing a lifeline. And what I am seeing here is as people go deep into authentic cultural practice, the powerful changes that are coming over people. And when I say authentic cultural practice, it is wonderful when there is performance art. But like with Kumu Kehau, she's about a whole lot more than performance art. And what I'm seeing is as people are making their ahus or people are doing true practice, this is not performance art. It is a real reconnection with the land. And as somebody who does not have that bloodline in me at all, I know that when I went through some really rough things maybe 10 years ago and I started doing permaculture, my kumu, who was Kumu Lavan Ohai, and then even what in the class that I took that wasn't Hawaiian-based, you know, is like to invite the spirit into the land. And my plants talked to me in my dreams, and my healing really started happening with the healing in the soil, the land, and as you create an environment around you that is filled with life. And I want to say living freedom, like in my little garden, I have just so much abundance that's growing there, and I feel like I'm part of it. I'm part of that little ecosystem, and it brings me joy just being a piece of that. And that's why people love to kayak or paddle canoe or surf or, you know, things that root them into what is the natural environment. And join a canoe club, you know, whatever, find something, because usually there are other people who have recovered from pain and emotional pain. We kind of got to move past those things a little bit.
I talk to many survivors, and I am continually, as a matter of fact, I did it this morning, telling them that I wish that they could come and visit me here, and you know, we could just hang out in the water together, you know.
Yeah.
Just be in nature.
Just be in nature. I think that's where we are meant to be. And if you have a good skill, how to build that. And when we're even talking about politics or any of that, all of that is trying to create an environment for us. So thank you for calling in at 826-7771. I have another caller, and that is our number. I realize I haven't said it, 826-7771. Thank you for calling. You're on the air. Hello? Are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
I can.
Oh, good. I have two things I wanted to address. First, I'm really happy to hear about a suicide prevention program, however you want to name it.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little bit of that many years ago here on Kauai on a telephone line. And it was really rewarding and helpful. And I'm curious to know if there are if there's any suggestions about how to maybe volunteer to help with something like that.
Oh, I have no doubt that there is. And we just had a caller in, and there's www.preventsuicidekauai.com.
Uh-huh.
And that would be a great group to get involved in. There's also a really amazing group here called Life's Bridges. And Gina, she's got about a 12-syllable last name. I got to look that one up. But Gina, who works also at the police department, she and her team do really, really great things. Miley Bryant's another one who is in that group. And when I have seen them working, as it could be any kind of passing, and they are right there on the scene helping the people. And most of the people involved in that have had profound loss in their own lives. And so I think that it is really helpful to be greeted by somebody who understands what's going on. But Life's Bridges is a great organization, and that one works directly with the police department too. So as soon as the scene of the accident is there or whatever, they come in and help. I want to also give a strong shout-out to the Kauai Visitors Bureau. When people pass away on vacation or have a horrible crisis, their leg gets bit off or whatever it might be. It's not funny. I mean, it really happens. It was a recent one. Will work with the embassy. If you're not American, they'll help you. They help you through your crisis, help get you home. It's really a big piece of aloha. And so there's those kind of pieces. There's really quite a good number of them. And
that's great. I love to hear this. And I also wanted to address, and thank you for that, I wanted to address the thing you said, which is all ties in and it's all connected and very important, and that is to always remember that nature is the most powerful healer, and that's why the indigenous peoples everywhere have their own ways to help us connect. You mentioned your gardening and your kumu or whoever has helped you with getting into the plants. There's a lot of different ways to be inspired about that. The gardens that are known in Finland, I forget what it's called now.
Yeah, I've heard of it too.
Scotland.
Yeah. Marshall probably knows. He knows everything. But go on.
There's Perilandra, and there's it'll come to me as I talk. But these things help us connect with the spirits of nature, the divas of all the natural elements in nature and the fairies. And just be in nature, you know, to get present. I do healing work. And the best thing to help you just get right here and now is to look at a tree or watch a cat or get in the ocean. You know, just stand in the ocean. You don't have to be a swimmer. You know, just go to the ocean and stand and let the water touch you, absorb into you, and feel the mother of all that is there to heal you. You know, and I love that you're mentioning these things, and I want to reiterate that I found that to be so powerful. So I thank you for all these mentionings and these people who are talking about suicide prevention. I have had two or three, actually, suicides in my life.
I'm very sorry.
Very hard. But there are ways to get through it. There's definitely a way to get through it. Avoidance or postponing, grieving doesn't work. What works is to go right into it and work into it, be in it, dance in it. If you can't see yourself, be immersed in it. You can come out the other side, and it can help. But I don't want to take any more of your time. I just am grateful to have your program Felicia. So it's a great, great connection for all the people who need to have this community. This is really important.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
And thank you. And I'll be calling again. I call regularly.
Okay. And then I did have an Akamai listener call in. And, okay, Gina only has five syllables. Kalukukui. And she, Gina Kalukukui, and she is from the Kauai Police Department, the Domestic Violence Prevention Specialist. She is also the founding member of Life's Bridges and Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force. And it says that they welcome visitors and community partners. And I did have the website right, preventsuicidekauai.org. And I think that people, you know, can just let others know how to help. And I know that, you know, what kind of grassroots bubbles up is oftentimes food, well, you know, bringing food and to people's families. And just there's lots of ways that people can help.
So, lots of ways. All we have to do is look in our hearts and ask, you know.
Yeah.
I did remember the name of that other garden. It's world famous. I actually met the original person from there with Findhorn.
Findhorn, yes.
Findhorn, amazing. And anyone who wants to go online and look at Paralandra or Findhorn, there's such tremendous inspiration there. But really, just talk to a kumu or an older Hawaiian person. They give us such wonderful gifts.
Thank you. Thank you so very much for calling in.
Sure. Thank you, and aloha to you all.
Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall, and I have Ronnie and Heather in here. And we are having a rather vibrant conversation, and you're welcome to call in at 826-7774 on how we lift each other up and, you know, particularly care for both the people who are in a point of despair and maybe don't want to keep going, or also those who have lost and the profoundness of that. So this guy's group is called Alliance of Hope for Suicide Survivors. I want to just put in a little piece here about the KKCR Board of Directors elections.
Elections for Kekahu Foundation board members are held if at least 15% of KKCR's Kauai members request the election and if there are more candidates than the number of open seats on the board. Otherwise, the board selects new members from qualified applicants. If you are a KKCR member who resides on Kauai and would like to request that the board conduct an election this year, please go to kkcr.org/elections and fill out the form requesting that an election be held, or send a letter to KKCR Elections, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii, 96714. All requests must be received by August 31st. Please call 808-826-7774 for more information. KKCR's Board of Directors thanks all of our members for their support and their input.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And I just want to give another shout out to all the people who came to KKCR's birthday party, Saturday before last. And my heart was certainly warmed by so many people sharing how much KKCR helps to give them a warm sense of community. And we really are community here. We so welcome people to come in, to call in, to be a part of what this is, and lots of really loving good people here. So 826-7771 if you would like to call in and let us know your mana'o on any of this stuff.
Yeah, that's right, Felicia. And I was noticing that there is a National Suicide Prevention Hotline, that's, or a lifeline, I'm sorry, 1-800-273-TALK.
273-TALK,
yeah.
Yes.
Just thought I'd throw that out. That's on the PreventSuicideKauai.org website.
Yes. So that's great. And why don't you guys give your forum again or in your websites?
Sure. And it's the Alliance of Hope for Suicide Loss Survivors.
Okay.
Just to be
okay.
clear. Okay. Well, we added the word loss to our name a couple years ago because there's actually a movement around people who have attempted suicide and survived.
Oh,
so
right.
There's attempt survivors and there's loss survivors. And we focus on the people who are left behind grieving and who are suffering really the devastating loss and helping them heal. So our website is allianceofhope.org, and then the community forum, which operates like a 24/7 support group. It's overseen by a mental health professional and a trained team of moderators who are themselves loss survivors and understand what people have gone through. That is forum, F-O-R-U-M, dot allianceofhope.org. You can access that from the website itself, there's always someone online 24/7. In fact, we have about 500 people who tap in for support every day. And so there's always someone there to mm-hmm. greet you and someone with a similar loss usually who will respond and you know, let you know that you're not alone.
And I know that there are groups that are even just like social media groups locally for example, parents who have had a loss. And you know, we've had so many. In 2016, there's 7 of my children's like classmates and friends left, mm-hmm. and that was intense and powerful. And so, moms and dads, you know, really seem to come together for each other in these services. But it is also really rough in that food line, like serving food when it feels like it could be a cafeteria line at school for how many kids I've seen growing up, you know, and what goes on for them. And you know, it's important for you all to know that we love you so much, and that you know, we're going to be there for you, because we, you know, it's a time that people are vulnerable and just sad, and a lot of times it's not just a choice to leave, but a choice to maybe numb the pain, and then that can turn into, you know, pretty deep problems. So even without a suicide, sometimes the loss of a friend can cause people to fall into habits that aren't edifying.
That's actually very common. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I think the work we're doing, which we call also suicide aftercare, is so important, that people seek support from themselves. The suicide loss experience isn't something that, you know, ends within a certain time frame, and everybody has their own healing journey with regard to grief. When you talked about people coming together and what's happening with the hurricane and providing food, and, you know, that support is usually for someone who's lost a loved one. Kind of peaks at about 3 weeks. And after that time, people go back into their own lives.
Oh, I see what you're saying. As I say, the pain doesn't peak.
The pain continues, but the support of loved ones and everybody kind of rallying around and coming to the home and visiting and calling, you know, that tends to just, in general, end after a few weeks. But the person who's left grieving is grieving 24/7 and oftentimes doesn't feel like they can talk about it. And that's why so many people go to the online forum, because it's a place where you can mm-hmm. talk about it as long as you need to. And so people will stay on our forum. I mean, we have our current chairwoman of our board of directors has been on our forum since 2009. And she, it's around the time we started the organization, a year afterwards. She used to go, you know, every single day. And then people will sometimes go just around the holidays or around difficult times. But you know, it's a lifeline in many regards to people, because people find friends there that they never expected. A mother will find a mother. It might be a mother on Kauai who finds, you know, a mother in the middle of Australia, and they are the first people that they talk to in the morning, you know, on the forum, and the last people that they talk to at night. That's very, very common for people to meet unexpected friends in this journey, and they're not necessarily here at home, but because that mother has gotten support, she can then help her children, and it ripples out into the community because she's stronger and able to heal.
And I do want to open it up to the listeners. If somebody knows of face-to-face grieving groups, too. I know hospice does quite a nice job in the interfaith roundtable. They do all kinds of good things. And so 826-7771. Why I bring that up is not everybody has electricity or a computer.
Yes.
And our displaced people, there's a lot of people who are basically like living out of their vehicle or their car, and they kind of sometimes have to almost sneak to go hang out someplace where they can plug in and be a part of a computer environment. So there's a poverty layer on that too.
Understood. And you know, that said, if somebody has a cell phone, if you had, you know, a smartphone, the forum, we upgraded the forum technology so that you can use it on a phone instead of, you don't have to have a laptop or a tablet. But I absolutely understand what you're saying. And, you know, I wish that we could personally reach out to all of those individuals to support them.
Yeah, but I appreciate what you have there. And that's also kind of nice when there's a certain amount of anonymity too, like when you're communicating across, you know, a long area. And I think that there are people, you know, even sometimes parents of, say, special needs children. There's all kind of that. And like a couple weeks ago, I went, maybe it's almost a month, a few weeks back, I went to the Alzheimer's event, and that's another area of stress for people. So I was happy to see that there, you know, the Alzheimer's Association, that group, Humberto, I don't have his phone number right in front of me, but people can look it up online. Or they are in La Jolla, and it is a group that get together and that travels around to different places. And you know, their focus is fixing it, and then the Veterans Center. The Veterans Center is a great resource. There's the VA, also the Veterans Administration. They do good things. The Vet Center, sometimes I think that we don't really realize, like when we had something like Vietnam where everybody got drafted, it was easier. I read a book called Tribe, and that was a really interesting one on depression, because especially vet depression, because when they go away, and they, it's like less than 1% of our population is actually in these wars, and they come home, and like in contrast to say being in a tropical storm like Harvey, where it's a shared experience, everybody is able to say, oh yeah, I lost my house, or I lost the top floor of the house, or whatever is there, you know, and it's kind of like an expected group experience. When people come home from the wars and there aren't people to really receive them, and they don't fit in very well, that is a big issue. And it's on my mind because tomorrow, I'm part of a group at the Vet Center, and we are having something for the Vietnam vets. And they are still, there's, you know, that still is a point of healing for people, because that was a tough war and it wasn't a good welcome home. So this is the 50th anniversary. So November 11th, there's trying to be a big celebration party, love fest for each other, and that one is still being promoted. And coming up at the beginning of September, for, I should look, I probably have it on my calendar, I'm going to be helping with that. They have this Unlikely Heroes. It's the Japanese 522nd that was a lot of Hawaii soldiers, and they helped find the Dachau Holocaust victims, and so that was a rescue. And so we're going to have a really nice event at the Veterans Center for a couple few weeks, and they're bringing things from Yad Vashem, from Jerusalem, and from the Holocaust Museum at the Smithsonian. And it should be a beautiful event there too. Like, this is just like another area of trauma, and so sometimes even when people are the children of survivors of something like that, there's a lot of survivor guilt in those kind of events, too?
We actually have a gentleman on our board of directors at the Alliance of Hope who is a Vietnam vet. And when he came back, he lost 10 of his 12 teammates to suicide. And he said that he was all ready to go ahead and do it himself. And there was just something that happened in his life that changed his mind. But it was exactly what you were saying, Felicia, in terms of coming back and nobody understood the experience that they had been through.
Yeah, it is a really big and difficult circumstance.
That's also what a lot of suicide loss survivors face. When I said earlier that they go through PTSD, they go through post-traumatic stress syndrome, much like someone who comes back from war, because they will imagine their loved one's suicide. Some of them actually experience it, and it's really a trauma that is different than, you know, someone who loses someone suddenly to a car accident, because they feel like they could have prevented it, and that's a whole layer that impacts and makes suicide grief a bit different than traditional grief, because they feel a guilt or a blame, or they imagine, they keep thinking about their loved one and that horrific experience, and it really is horrific, and they need to be able to talk about it in a place where people won't recoil, where people, you know, they feel like they can actually share it and someone else will understand, because they've been through something, you know, that horrible. So it's very similar to, I think, in a way, coming back from war, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. I hadn't thought
I haven't been in war, so
I haven't been.
You know, that's like
true.
A man saying, hey, you know, childbirth doesn't have to be painful.
Right.
You're like,
okay,
hey,
so
you
maybe
got a little bit of credibility issue there. I mean, I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'm overstepping there, but in terms of the, you know, horror, I guess, that I would imagine, the horror of experiencing and seeing something so awful, they do go through the similar, the PTSD, and that's, I guess, what I'm saying is...
Trauma.
Yeah, post-traumatic stress disorder. Yeah. So I'm seeing that this... Unlikely Liberators is September 5th through the 27th. So, shoots, I'm going to be on the radio next week on the 5th. So that's a Tuesday, because they're going to have a really good speaker who was one of those soldiers who was there doing the liberation. He's an older gentleman. He's in his 90s, and he's still clear. And that is really good. So we've got a lot of really good things going on in this island. In fact, on Tuesday the 5th, what's happening also is there's going to be like a party celebration for somebody who did not die, and that's our Richard Diamond. And so he had a heart attack, and we were all really worried about him, and he made it. So like, a lot of times it's really good to have the party when somebody's alive. So from 3 to 7 at Anini, they're going to have a heart celebration for our living friend, Richard Diamond. And when I first saw the presentation on that, I was like, oh, no, did something happen and I didn't get it? And no, he is fine, and that's why we are celebrating him.
And they'll have finished the bridge on Anini by that time, too. Right now they're working on that bridge. You can't drive in.
Right. I know. I went to a party last Sunday there, wonderful place. But, yes, they're working on that bridge down there. And next Sunday, my guest that was going to be in the studio is going to be on the phone, because he is also a Houston guy. And he can't make it out. We'll talk about that in a moment. I got a call. We're going to take this. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, they keep putting me on the air.
Yeah, hey.
Just because I got a lot of experience in this stuff, if you have family members or good friends that are struggling with alcohol or heavy drugs, ice and stuff, do not make it easy, you know. Don't go, oh, poor you, stuff. If anything, make it more hard for them.
Really?
You know, yeah. They've got to hit that rock bottom, and you got to keep an eye on them, you know. But I don't think that, you know, being, oh, you poor thing, everything is going to make everything better for them. It's got to come from within. And until they're ready to make, you know, some positive, and get around some positive people too, you know.
I think being around positive people is important, and if I can make another inexperienced comment, because I haven't been in that same position, when I look at people in my community, many of whom suffer with that, they lost a parent or a brother and a parent, not to, you know, suicide or whatever, but there's often a tragedy that is affiliated with that slump. So as somebody who isn't in it myself, I still look through a lens of compassion, but I am respecting what you're saying, that sometimes it's very important too.
I've just had the experience of being able to be around people that have known me for a long time. And when I come on hard times, they're like, "Oh, Rick, you're just going through a hard time. Relax, cuz." And it sure feels good to have that little bit of, you know. But at the same time, I'm saying you can't, you know, that might have worked one night, but, you know, if it's the same old routine, time in, time out, then you got to let them hit rock bottom and pray for them, I guess. I don't know.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha. And Jazz with John is coming up at the top of the hour. John Gordon, our beloved jazz programmer. So what I was saying about next week, we have Robert King, who's going to be in here, and this sort of flows with this whole same conversation. He became a Black Panther after he was imprisoned in the Angola prison. Very small infraction, actually, that got him in prison. There was three people in the Angola 3, and one of my friends and neighbors helped to get them out. Another one was in there for 43 years, solitary confinement. And a lot of times when people are sitting there spending time in solitary confinement, especially for a brutal amount of years, it is really takes a lot of personal stamina to be able to make it through that. And then what we saw with the Black Panthers, which was a little bit earlier than my day, the racial tension. But we're seeing a little uprising of racial tension, at least across the United States or in some of it. Sometimes I feel like it gets a bit baited. So we have to avoid the divide and conquer and know that we are all basically similar and, you know, to love one another and not get baited. Something that I've seen with the online bullying is coming from people getting so caught up in what they're being frothed with either the left or the right in the politics going on. And so we have to really work on those things.
Can I just say yeah. something about uh-huh. it? You know, I think this is why kindness is so important. It's a simple concept, but I think that knowing what's going on in someone else's life, and I know that people are private, you know, so there's probably a fine line in some ways, but I tend to be one who always asks my close friends and colleagues and people, you know, what's going on in your life? How are you? And I, you know, take the time to get to know that because, and I share about what's going on personally. You know, if I'm going through a challenging time, I'll tell one of my friends that that's happening because I find that it creates an opening for them to then share what's happening with them because I'm being so authentic and so raw. A couple weeks ago, August 4th, was the 22nd anniversary of when my stepbrother passed away, mm-hmm. which is what led my family and Ronnie and my mother to found the Alliance of Hope. And I put a post on Facebook. I just felt compelled to. I was thinking about that day and when it happened, and I just wrote real and raw about my experience. And of all the things that I posted on Facebook, I had the most response to that. And I learned about other people who opened up and said, you know, someone I used to work with, I lost my sister 2.5 years ago. I never knew that about her. There was a guy I went to high school with who I haven't seen for 20, you know, years, who shared his story on Facebook. And so by letting people know, because we're all human and we're all challenged by something, we all have challenges in this lifetime, it will create a space for your own healing and for people to be there for you and for people to share their story, which is really a gift to others. So I think it's really important that we that we do get personal with one another and let each other know, you know, what's happening in our lives, so that we can be there for one another.
Yeah, and there's so many opportunities for people to just participate in the community. I know for myself, when I have had something difficult going on, even when I was a teenager, I'd find somebody who's in worse shape than me and help them out, because a lot of times that just in itself is something that's pretty healing.
I think that's one of the things that we see on the Alliance of Hope Forum all the time. People will arrive and they'll be raw and they'll say, I'm not sure I can survive this. And then if you look at the same person about a month later, that person is now welcoming the new people who are beginning to post and say, I just lost my husband last Tuesday. All of a sudden, one is reaching out to the other. And so they're sharing their grief, but they're also reaching out to comfort. So that act of making meaning or helping others to heal heals ourselves.
Yeah, I think that that is really a critical thing.
Ronnie, I noticed on the website that there is a way to search for in-person support groups for survivors of suicide loss, and that there is no group on Kauai, at least that appears in the search. Is there any advice you have for how a group can form, you know, if there are people on Kauai that want to actually get together and form a support group?
I'm not sure if you were you looking at our group or were you looking at the American Foundation of Suicide Prevention?
I took the link from your
website. Oh, and that's a link to the AFSP website. The American Foundation of Suicide Prevention maintains a directory of support groups across the country.
Okay, so I see that there's none on Kauai. Do you have any suggestions as to how one could be formed?
I would contact the hospice in Lahue. I actually thought that there was a group. I thought somebody told me that there was a group, so it may not be listed.
The folks at Life Bridges might know that, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing with support groups is that they can be helpful, so I don't want to be dismissive, but they don't meet as often as people need support, even when they do meet. Really, I want to let people know that when somebody's lost a loved one to suicide, it's like you need intensive care, you know. And so if you can access online support, if you do have the ability to go to a computer, a lot of people go to support groups and then they use the Alliance of Hope as an adjunct. So when they're not meeting, they come because it's available 24/7. And the support groups sometimes, even in major metropolitan areas, only meet once a week or once a month sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's not common, you know, to find support groups in rural areas, and a lot of the people that we serve come from areas like Kauai.
Right.
Rural areas. So it would be wonderful. I just want to say that Ronnie is visiting here for the summer. So she's based in Chicago originally, and when she comes back hopefully next year, I would just like to put it out there that it would be really nice to have an event on Kauai, maybe in partnership with Life Bridges or someone where we could bring suicide loss survivors together to talk about their experience and you know, maybe, you know, there could be a little corner of the Alliance of Hope Forum for the Kauai community down the line.
Mm-hmm. And the Interfaith Roundtable is a really good group because one of the members is the lead pastor for hospice, and another one is with the Veterans Center. I mean, it's a whole collection of people who are involved, and most of whom who have had significant losses. That's not what they're, you know, only about, but it's a good hub to be able to be bringing all those people in. So we might have time for one last quick call, and then I was going to have us go out with a song, because I see, like, we tend to go out with the county council report, but it looks like it's a very short one. And okay, let me take this call. Aloha, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. My name is Madeline.
Okay.
Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force, and I was listening to the broadcast. Uh-huh. And
can you speak louder, please? I can barely hear you. I've got you potted all the way up. Just project your voice stronger, please.
Sure. Okay. My name is Madeline Hiraganuccio. I was listening to the broadcast, and I heard someone mention how to get in touch with folks who are involved with suicide prevention on the island. And I wanted to make sure that you had the phone number for Life's Bridges.
Oh, I don't have that. Could you give that?
It is 651-6637.
6637. I'm going to even put that in my own phone.
Very good. Gina Kukui, who is the primary mover and shaker for Life's Bridges, is part of the Prevent Suicide Kauai Task Force. I happen to be the current chair. And we meet on the fourth Monday of the month. We just met yesterday, actually.
Okay.
And I wanted to let everyone know that we're planning a sign waving in support of the prevention of suicide on September 8th. That's a Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. We'll have a couple of locations, three locations, actually, there at the corner by the airport in Lihue, in Kapa'a, across from Pono Market, and in front of Kauai Community College.
Okay, yes, that's
everyone
good.
Everyone is welcome to join us.
All right, and so people will see how many people, I mean, there'll be so many more people who actually care than who are out there with a sign, but people will visibly see that how much they matter and that people take their time to go out and just to be saying, you know, we love you, we're there for you.
Absolutely, and I think that is the purpose of our going out and waving sign. We also want to alert folks to the event coming up in November around suicide prevention. It's the Walk for Suicide Awareness that is going to occur on November 18th.
Okay.
And that's a Saturday in the afternoon. And I believe also you mentioned on the air that there is a PreventSuicideKauai.org website.
Yes.
That the walk in November as well as the sign waving are both advertised on that website.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you for all that you do.
Yes, and thank you very much.
We did talk about how amazing Life's Bridges is.
They are just fantastic.
Yes. Okay, thank you so very much.
Yes, thank you very much.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Okay, well, I have to tell you both, aloha, thank you for all that you do. I'm sorry for the loss that I know that you still feel, and I value how you have been able to channel that energy into, sounds like, helping 500 people a day on average. That's a big thing. If people want to donate, where do they go?
They can go to allianceofhope.org and click on Get Involved. And the Alliance of Hope is actually the leading online source of support in the world for suicide loss survivors.
Okay. So thank you, and thank you, Marshall. And we're going to go out with Joe Cocker's song, You Are So Beautiful, because you know what? That's what we want you to know. Mm-hmm. And if you're sad, you're so beautiful.
Thank you, Felicia.
So beautiful.